going to be up to the student. If you want to, is that small piece of the form you end up with? Is that the point? Is that the bottom? Of the inhabitants of Jerusalem have dressed that you can bring people to Israel back to the Jewish throne, Israel will be a military force that continues to be Christ and the strength of the Lord. Now, as we saw last week, after 1,800 years of them not being in Israel, I don't think we can comprehend how we actually have been able to hold this answer. But this was not 2023, this was 1823. People would be, even Christians would say, yeah, think all those promises about Jesus coming to the world and about Israel regathering the temple and all that. I think in that form, the right figure in that form is that when something doesn't fit for 1,800 years on people, and yet in almost a flood, Israel was formed as a nation May 14th in 1948. The Secretary General of the Gathering of Zion Pesha stated it would be a war of annihilation. Okay, it was not a war to try to figure out what the enemy. It would be a war instead of annihilation. It would seem like the nation of Israel would be destroyed before it really began. And here's the thing from Scripture, peace cannot return unless there's an Israel. He's returning to the Mount of Olives. And there are going to be Jews there. Well, he can't return if there is no Israel. So Satan is committed to annihilating Israel. So wiping them from the very mental resistance. God says to Zechariah, go ahead and try. Go ahead and try. Because I'm going to make Israel a movable rock. And when you try to lift it, it will injure you. You are going to be quite proud to lift Israel. Then he goes up and says, I will make it like a public tragedy. If you drink of this cup, and you are staggering with confusion and like a moral drunkenness and all these things, it's going to be a public tragedy to the surrounding nation. With hatred, drunk with humiliation, drunk with deceit. God says, I will make Israel a crimson pot of raging fire in the midst of water. The more the world tries to put out the fire, what happens when you try to put out a fire for dry fire? What happens if you take dry seeds and you say, I'm going to put out this seed fire with your breaking into your body? God is so miracle in making tiny little Israel one of the most powerful in the world. They are strong through their God. That's exactly what I'm saying. So I want to tell you a story about this. It's a very powerful nation. It says that he looked at God. This could have been pretty quick. 130 poorly armed men held Zechariah's hands. forces all of us to excel at something to them. The existence of this connection goes into the considerable resulting situation, resulting in the circumstance of stress. Here is the answer to the question. It's a teacher to a problem of self-assessment. Stress and present steps only can to our mutual the best of the future. We're going to see this in the moment of being greater than why did it cause the message to be done in this thing? Why did this go down? The God of God said this was right now. The God of God said this was right now. How do you make your next process to come to the next one? And so you have these five mixtures of the God of God. Go to the next one. Where are we going with all this? We'll talk about that in a few minutes. The point is, there's more than just one thing, because God is coming back for us. I want to make this real quick. There's more than just one thing. We're not perfect people. In fact, we believe that they are actually rebelling against their God right now. They have rejected their Messiah. They're still in a place where they have rejected the Messiah. Your question is Jesus Christ, I'm saying. They have rebelled against God. So this isn't about their perfect nation to do everything right. This is not the point. Nor is this just to get all Muslim or Catholic in a perfect nation. What it is to all Muslims not to question the God as a true Christ. I want to make this clear. This isn't a matter of God loves some nations and doesn't love others. God has made it clear in the Gospel that he loves all people to him. He loves all people all time.
Christ, all nations, the gospel for all people. And we also, his soul is precious to him that he resides. So this is not like a nationalistic deliverance. But what he's doing is an acknowledgement that he loves all people. He loves Americans too. But he chose Israel. Of all the people in all of history, he only chose Israel. Not because they were great, but because they were small and precious. And he said, I can show my glory to these people. And in Israel, he gave Israel the word of God, the law of God, the priesthood. He gave the promise to be the same. He said to the Samaritan woman, the salvation is like the Jews. There are no other people who are the chosen people as the Jews are. No other people that God has given. So that's why we should be like, I love my country, which is a country where we should not be all these national ones that give America. Even though they're in rebellion and they're especially blind right now, they are good people. And Satan hates them with a blinding future because of all they have given the world, salvation is of the Jews. And I think because it is there that Jesus is going to return. Satan can do what these leaders have said and annihilate Israel, Jesus can return. At least not faithfully to his word, he'd be a liar, he'd be wrong. So Satan would love to wipe out the Jews. But that is the real reason for the rising hatred in the world against the Jews. That is the spiritual thing. That is the demonic spirit that was in heaven. That is the demonic spirit that was in heaven when he wanted to destroy the Jews in Esther. That is the demonic spirit going on today around the world, and it is only going to increase. Nations are going to hate Israel and come against Israel. But God is going to make this a much stronger one. So I want to ask the question, what comes next? I mean, we could go a lot into this, but I'm going to share some thoughts that I have. Let me first say that a lot of Christians, I believe, over the years, and I've seen it in them, have gotten way out over their skis with predictions. Okay? So I'm not going to try, I'm just trying to say, I'm a horrible skier, because all my problems is safe. You know, back on my feet, people get weird, people say weird things, do weird things. I am never comfortable around Christians who have to say the end of the world, the end of the world. I remember when Y2K, guys, some of you remember that, Y2K and the emergency, and people were stacking up on toilet paper and food and their bench and everything. And I went to the grocery store, based off of Y2K, I was prepared for the year. I remember dropping into the grocery store to get emergency supplies because we were out of ice cream. So I bought 2 gallons of ice cream. I'm not big on that, but seriously, I saw a new believer, people in our church, that really, who suddenly were more passionate, prepared, very passionate to get them in. And I love that, don't get me wrong, but if it's third, if you're not passionate for prayer, except when you think the world is coming in tomorrow, then that's not a healthy thing. Okay, so, but I am going to try to share a few things. I think, as I understand this, we can be looking for one thing. And this is to help prepare us so that we're not changing. Because all that's going on right now in the world is just not surprising. Those who have been watching and watching and looking. First thing, watch for the escalation of wars against Israel. That spills out to other nations, including a bunch of Catholic Christians. Maybe it can't down. I hope it can't down. And we pray for the peace of Israel. We pray that all that's going on right now from us, we pray that they win a glorious country. We pray for the safety of both Jewish lives and Palestinian lives, innocent Palestinian lives. We pray for all of them. And indeed, it might be camped down for a couple of months. We may be prepared about this if we've been on the offense, but I think watch, because this thing is going to come to a tipping point, and it's going to blow up at some point. And it's going to not get. And there's going to be leader after leader after leader who promised to bring peace and continue that to the region. The surrounding nations have a determination to adopt their Israel and go to the bigger picture of the land. naked because of an act. And our leader is quite proud. And they are going to attack him here from the uppermost or the far north. Now, I believe that on many of us, that is the description of Russia. Turkey is north of the Pacific, but far north is Russia. Russia is like a mountain, way up there. And we're already seeing Russia begin to interfere. This is what we can make some of it with our alignments with our government. Now, I don't get the Magog and the God reference. Magog was no invention God. God was a descendant of Jacob. So, I don't know why, but in chapter 38 and 39, he comes to God's conference that I'm against you, Magog and God. So, I don't know, they're certainly not the first in Magog and Magog. But they might be blood descendants, or they might be spiritual descendants in some way. God says he's against them, and he's going to put a hook in their mouth, drawing them into a war they don't really want to be in. And they will attack Israel when he's really attacking Israel. Similar to October 7th, but not that. And God is going to supernaturally destroy them. This is what comes close to the end, where God is going to begin to this is what will happen in that day. When God attacks the land of Israel, my hand will be aroused, declares the Son of the Lord. In my zeal and fiery wrath, I declare that at that time there shall be a great earthquake in the land of Israel. The fish will see the birds in the sky, the beasts of the field, every creature that moves along the ground, and all the people on the face of the earth will tremble at my presence. The mountains will be overturned, and the cliffs will crumble, and every wall will fall to the ground. I will tell my story to the God of all my mountains, declares the sovereign Lord. Every man's story will be against his brother. I will execute judgment on him with faith and bloodshed. I will pour out torrents of rain, hailstones, and burning sulfur on him, and I will sleep on the many nations with him. And so I will show my goodness, my holiness, and I will make myself known in the sight of many nations. Then they will know that I am the Lord. I don't know what all this is going to look like, but if you superpose that on Revelation that you point for, there is coming a point where God, right now we see a place where he thinks that God is going to be openly revealing his reign. It's not going to be handicapped. People are going to cry out, let me stop it. Get me away from the wrath of the Lamb of God. And so that wrath, God's wrath, that came to the world, was poured out as if I were going to do supernatural, natural, cataclysmic, apocryphal, apocalyptic, apocalyptic, in the sense that I would exist and describe and stones and all of that. So, keep your eye out. In the end times, it's going to be a continuous struggle to come back to the financial terms. And I think we're going to be some degree of the purposes. So what? I mean, we're saying that what for the Jewish temple to be rebuilt? Again, I could be wrong about this, but I believe that the title, just like it will, is the next to him, and that is Christian that it will become a Christian. But it might be very hard to understand it like that. But I believe the Jewish temple is going to be rebuilt. Hard to know, because right now, the Muslim sacrifice took place, the Dome of Damascus, that's right, where they believe that the Jewish temple was. So, whether it be a natural disaster, whether it be destroyed, the Dome of Damascus being destroyed, a war, a situation, or something, or whether the Jews discover that the site of the temple is a little bit different, I don't know. I don't know. this is something that you're probably starting to keep this place at the regulation of this perspective. It's going to be a way to rise up in the world we don't know where from. Rise up out of the chaotic and turmoil and turmoil, and that's what we've got to bring to the call. Calibrating myself. If this leader does not have to take it as a leader over the world, it's going to discuss too much he brings to us for his time. And that is going to feel like cold water. things in the old days in the streets that all those people were going to come out and be sick. I don't think that necessarily makes a difference. You can be a separate for it. You can be a separate thing to come out and maybe change your business. Maybe that makes some sense. Whatever. And I don't think that really necessarily makes you ready in the way that you expect to be ready. So I want to share a few things. Daniel 11:32, talking about the Antichrist and his deception. So many times, he makes three words, but then he says that those who accept this God will be drawn by the Antichrist. Those who know that it is God, just like way to be ready is to know that this is a relationship with the covenant prophet. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. Relationship, they know me. They know me. They cultivate a relationship with me. They recognize when it's me talking, and they can tell when it's someone else talking. And that's why we don't have a perfect voice. We've got to cultivate that relationship. Because many of the parables talk about those who are not looking, not ready, not waiting. They have taken the time to find the promise. So cultivate a trusting relationship with Jesus. And secondly, occupy until Jesus comes. Occupy. In one of Jesus' parables, he said that we are to occupy until he returns. That word occupy means to engage in life. Engage in your life. Engage, do your business. Be faithful in the little things. Be the stewards of what God has given to you. Don't move into the mountains. Don't quit your job. Don't get a sandwich board walking around on Main Street. You know, the end of the world is near. Don't do that, okay? Please. Occupy. Occupy. Do what God has called you and given you to do. Follow Jesus closely with all your heart in all your daily life. Love His church because Jesus loves His church. But we can't call this the love of Jesus. Serve Jesus by loving and serving and caring for the people in our lives that God has given to us, our spouse, our children, our family, our friends, and people that are in our lives. Love Jesus by loving them. Serving them, invest our lives in heaven, and listen to earthly things. Put our treasure in heaven and things. People, loving people, telling people about Jesus, praying for people, caring for people. Because that's the only thing, you're not taking anything else with you, but people. We can bring people with us into heaven and share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. So, my conclusion this morning, and I know we've covered the Bible right now. I believe God's prophetic prophet has taken a journey in a massive way in 1948 with Israel became a nation. And I believe there's a sense we may be near a tipping point with everything going right, but we don't know for sure if that's okay. We watch and we be ready. And the best way to prepare for Jesus' second coming is to place all our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Place all our faith and trust in what He accomplished for us the first time in the kingdom. See, that's one of my grasps with the end time faithfulness. They never talked about what Jesus did on the cross. They never talked about the resurrection. They never talked about that because they're so interested in the Antichrist thing. You know, what's the one thing? Stay focused. Stay focused. To what we took in the kingdom. Thank you.